Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Daniel Mangana. Today is Tuesday, April the 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. 2020, 4 p.m.
It's
New York
May
time.
It's May 5th.
What's that?
It's May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
What'd I say?
April.
Did I say April 5th?
You did. I was like, we lost a month in quarantine.
Boy, April was longer than I thought.
Yeah, it was the longest year ever.
I apologize. May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. I was thinking May. It just came out April.
Yeah.
It's been a very interesting year.
So wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I've had an interesting experience today that I thought would make a very good topic, and that is the topic of growth. And what kicked this off for me was back in the day, people who have listened to me when I was talking with Bill G as a co-host here on the show may have heard that he and I used to do a show, an online radio show before LOA Today that we called Freedom News Hour. And it was when I styled myself and thought of myself as being a libertarian. And I still have libertarian contacts. I normally don't really interact with them very much. But today on Facebook, one of them kind of got through. I have everything filtered out, you know. So most often their stuff doesn't even get to me. But today something got through. And so I decided to do a little experiment. I decided to reply to what they were writing about with a reply that spoke in terms that we talk about here to see what the reaction would be. And I knew it was going to be a pretty big reaction because what the words we talk about, the concepts we talk about are so completely different from what a libertarian talks about. Mm-hmm. But I figured it'd be fun. It'd be interesting to try it out. So anyway, I had this exchange and there was one person in particular who I used to know really well. We used to communicate all the time. And she was responding to what I was saying, and she was having trouble with it. So I was trying to kind of lead her through some of it without teaching her the whole thing. And her conclusion at the end of our conversation was, "You sound so unhappy right now."
What?
And, of course, I had to laugh, and I wrote back, "Actually, I am happier than I have been in my entire life. I am more at peace with myself and the world. I'm doing great. This is the best I've ever been. And I am more clear about libertarian ideas than I've ever been before in my life." Because what I didn't say is that joy equals clarity. I didn't want to confuse her more than she was confused already. Mm-hmm. But it did two things for me. First, it told me, wow, I have really grown over the last, call it 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. My personal growth has been off the charts compared to where I was. And secondly, it's really interesting now to look at my friends, because I still consider them to be friends, who are kind of stuck in that mindset that I used to be stuck in. They continue to be stuck in that mindset. And interesting to see how it affects, and I'll even say limits, their view of the world in a way that used to limit my view of the world. It's just interesting to see the level. When I said to her that I am more clear about those ideas than ever before in my life, I really meant that. The clarity level that I have now from just being in a high vibrational space is so much better than what I had back then. Mm-hmm. And I almost found myself in kind of a mouth open, like, what do I say next? Because I didn't know how to communicate to her in a way she would be able to get. And I finally realized it doesn't matter. I mean, she'll get to where she needs to get to when she's ready. And until then, she won't be ready. And that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, she's
not ready.
But boy,
the contrast between where I was then and where I am now is just like light years apart. So that's what made me think about growth and how, first of all, being a student of the ideas within what we call law of attraction. And secondly, being, I guess, a conscious creator within those circles has just taken me to areas I couldn't have dreamed of 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I literally could not have dreamed of. Daniel's raising his hand.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell a libertarian is. So this whole conversation.
A libertarian is a political philosophy that basically believes in very, very small government.
Oh, so American, like real Americans, basically. What America was supposed to be when it started.
What it started out as, yes, right. Yeah, and there are people who still believe that that's the way we should be here in this country.
Like so basically, the actual colonies?
Republicanism without the
politics, for lack of a better word.
without the whole idea of like being better than other people.
Yeah, kind of. Certainly those two elements are part of it. Not so much Republican. Actually, it's kind of like a balance between Republican and Democratic.
But the Democrats want lots of control. That's one of the funniest things about them.
But the funny thing is Republicans do too. They just don't want to admit it.
How do you spell libertarian?
And if you look back historically, going back to the 19th century, the Democrats were more libertarian than the Republicans were. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of like a wavy.
Yeah. As soon as Tony, if you don't know anything about UK politics, as soon as Tony Blair did New Labour, which is basically conservatives, but with a red tie, I was like, okay, I'm out.
Good for you.
I was never in, so I didn't, it went right over my head.
Yeah. But the libertarian part really is not all that important. The important part is the growth part because it's easy to get stuck in a mindset, you know?
Great pivot.
It's really easy to get stuck in a mindset. And it's not just people with political mindsets. There are all kinds of mindsets we can get stuck in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are stuck in mindsets. And yet, and this is the part that I think is really cool, in part because of what's going on and in part despite what's going on, there is what many people call a vibration raising going on around the world. And that's affecting everybody. It's affecting everybody, including those who are stuck in mindsets. And it's affecting them in ways that they don't even fathom yet. Yes, Alec, we don't have to raise hands here, guys. You know that, right?
Well, we don't want to interrupt, but I'm super distressed.
Same thing.
Yeah. This is how we were raised in school. What do you want us to do? So.
She's been doing podcasts for a year and a half with me, and now she figures she has to raise her hand. Go figure. I don't know.
Starting a trend.
I don't want to interrupt your story, but I'm super distracted. Daniel, is that your actual background, or is that like a video background? Like, what's happening? Because there's like palm trees blowing in.
It's pretty close to my actual background, but I'm not allowed to go to the beach because of quarantine.
Yeah. So. Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I was like, they actually have the palm trees like in the wind. Right? Like, it's crazy. And I think I see dogs running on the beach in the back. No, those are waves. I don't have my glasses on. Leave me alone.
It's deep. Helps me keep my vibration up.
That is pretty damn cool.
Thank you.
I'm curious where that one comes from because it looks very similar to the one that Louis D'Souza uses.
It probably is. I just used one of the basic Zoom ones. I haven't added any special
one
ones.
Okay.
I still can't do that. I'm very upset.
You just need to do it on a computer, dude.
Yeah, but my computer camera sucks.
There's a lesson in there somewhere.
All the amazingness that is me.
The amazing.
I will look very, very pixelated and cloudy. I'll look like I have a really bad filter on.
Well, I believe in the growth into a world where you have a computer that does both.
Yeah.
Backgrounds and beauty.
Well, if we get another stimulus check, I know what I'm buying.
Wow. Well, that's what it's intended for.
That's what they want you to do.
The growth of the economy.
It's right. Okay.
That's what they want. Yeah, it's true.
But it never works.
Not really, no. It fails to address the core concern, doesn't it?
All it actually does is gives the Federal Reserve more interest payments from the U.S. government, who then pass it on to the poor U.S. people who pay for it in taxes.
The interesting thing is going to happen with that, though. I'm not ready to go into great detail about this, but I've alluded to this before. There is a shift going on in the monetary system. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for about the last 12, 14 years or so. And I'm convinced it's continuing today. And I am convinced that 10 years from now, we won't recognize what we think of as money today. It's going to be.
Yeah, because money as it is today isn't working anymore. It's a failed social experiment. The Bretton Woods, everything as soon as money was no longer pegged to anything and just became numbers on the screen that had nominal value based on how people felt on the day about what they want to pay for it, the game just became a mess. So. It's unsustainable. Right before all of this, these trillions of stimulus money were added to the US debt, it was operating at a deficit of 5% against net income from tax and debts that were owed. So that was before another 10% to the national debt was added.
Okay, this is 20%. This is really interesting because you're talking like a libertarian right now.
I'm talking like a libertarian.
You are.
I'm talking like somebody that recognizes that the monetary system's a mess, and I'm just buying as much gold as I can.
And I think that's so cool. I'll point out something that I didn't dare point out to my libertarian friends because I know they're not ready to handle it, but you'd be able to easily handle this.
Go for it.
There's Let's a really interesting thing that's happened in the last 10 to 12 years, and it particularly that there's like a tipping point that happened in 2009. Mm-hmm. And in 2009, people will remember the concept of particularly banks, but also corporations that were too big to fail, right? Mm-hmm. That was like the big talking point. You have to save the ones that are too big to fail. And there was a whole rationale and yada, yada, yada. Well, what they ended up doing in very simplified terms was they ended up taking all of that bad debt held by the banks, corporations, and so forth, and having the Federal Reserve, quote, buy it back and replace it with, quote, good money that the Fed had just created out of thin air. Hmm. In old style terms, in old economic terms, that would have been called monetizing debt. In other words, taking debt and turning it into money.
But that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Hey, nothing about debt-based money makes any sense.
So, I
studied it for years.
They took the debt and then magically made magic money appear?
Precisely.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now that's not the interesting. I know that sounds like that's the interesting thing. That's actually mundane. That's been going on since 1913. Okay. This is not unusual. And actually, in many ways, it went on before that. That's not the amazing thing. The amazing thing is that up until 2009, any time that had ever been attempted, it got punished by a stock market crash or a bond market crash or a currency collapse or an inflation or a hyperinflation or any number of different kinds of negative financial events. But in 2009, they pulled off one of the biggest sleight of hand swappity-doos in world history, and the market applauded it. The market went into the biggest bull market over a 12-year period that it had ever experienced during that entire history. That should not have happened according to traditional economic theory, mm-hmm. but it did. Hmm. And so far, the vast majority of economists, not to mention lay people, failed to recognize just how significant that is. That is a major watershed event. It should not have happened, but it did.
Wow.
And here's the thing for the conspiracy theorists out there.
Theorists can have a fun time with this one.
When you start looking at how the 2008 crash unfolded.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the thing that actually facilitated that being able to happen without anybody batting an eyelid. You start to get a little bit freaked out.
Oh, there's lots of ways to get freaked out. I wrote a book about being freaked out about it. I swear to God, that was my book. I wrote it as a fictional story, but basically it was me waving the baton saying, hey guys, this is not the way traditional economics works. You got a problem here.
Yeah.
Little did I know that I published it the year that the whole paradigm started to shift.
Oh, that is how it works now.
Right. Mm.
Oh, okay.
And I could go into all the different ramifications that I think that are coming out of it. I'm not ready to do that just yet because there's some pieces of it that I can't come bring it together in my head and say, okay, I see where that's going. Because I can see like two different outcomes and they're mutually exclusive. It can't be both. It can only be one of them, but I can't tell you which one it is.
do you follow James Rickards?
I know who he is. I don't really follow him.
Yeah, I discovered him. I can't remember when I discovered him. His political views, he's very aggressive with some things, but his math makes sense. And when it comes down to calling it and it being as he's called it, I don't know anyone else that gets it done like he does. But he's dissecting his most recent book, Aftermath. Mm-hmm. He dissected all of the potential outcomes from what happens now and just the arguments that support the fact that, well, because Americans need to pay their taxes, there's always going to be a level of demand for the dollar. Mm. But the international demand for the dollar is artificial based on people being forced to buy things in dollars or believing in the dollar enough. Well, too many other people are backing their currency with real gold. So at some point, that's going to kind of fall on its face.
Yeah, but that's the flaw in his theory. Because the fact is, there is no such thing as a strong currency anymore.
No, but that's why when you look at, there are countries who are publicly demonstrating that they're getting enough gold to be able to back their currency with gold.
Yeah, and that's his conspiracy theory. The thing is, it hasn't actually produced their currency being considered a strong currency.
Because the dollar hasn't lost its trust yet, its trust levels yet. If that,
it should have lost its trust levels 12 years ago. That's the point.
But the hokey pokey is still going on, like you said. The hokey pokey is still going on. But we've just added another 2 trillion, 3 trillion, 3.5 trillion,
22
trillion debt that was at 20 trillion or 21 trillion was already 5% over.
Yeah. He's a gold bug. Jim McCarthy is a gold bug. And I used to be a gold bug.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I really was. The thing I learned is that, and this is a hard thing for me to come to terms with, gold is not and is not going to be the currency.
Oh, no.
It's just not going to be.
No, definitely
and
not.
Until it is, the rule of thumb is if you have one currency and a second currency and one is stronger than the other, the strong will drive out the weak.
Mm-hmm.
But when there are no strong currencies, that can't happen. Now, what Ricards is offering is the idea, well, there are currencies that are backed by gold, and so they're going to be the strong currencies. But the only way that works is if gold itself is a currency. Otherwise, that doesn't work. That's what I realized.
I don't get that one, but I'm sure we can continue that conversation on a non-LOA today.
Yeah.
And it
starts to get really esoteric, so you're right.
Yeah, it starts to get all there. Really philosophical.
Yeah.
But let's talk about growth.
This ties in actually. Once I let go of that idea, because like I said, I was a gold bug. Once I let go of that one and let go of all the angst that was associated with it, because I mean, let's be perfectly honest. The guy you gave a perfect example, Jim McCarthy. He is like the ultimate doomsdayer. Everything that comes out of him is terrible doomsday. Right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. How much of it's actually come true?
Damn.
I mean, our society has not collapsed. He's been claiming the society is going to collapse for like the last 35, 40 years, as far as I know. It hasn't collapsed. At some point, it's got to collapse, otherwise his theory doesn't work.
Well, if he continues to say yet, he's good.
Say what?
My thing is that there are no absolutes.
Yet, he's good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't really agree with absolutes. I think some people have a piece of the puzzle that makes some sense, and you can form your own worldview, and then you'll end up magnetically attracting the.
Oh, absolutely, that's the point. That's the point. I finally decided that following that particular pursuit wasn't going to lead me to where I needed to be. It didn't give me anything that I needed. It didn't resolve any of my own issues. It didn't improve my life. It didn't make anything better. All it did was point me in a direction of feeling miserable and unhappy and discouraged and frustrated and angry and basically at odds with the world. And when I let go of that, everything got better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in my life got better when I let go of that. But it took a lot to let go of it. I mean, I was hanging on to that for dear life for a long time. So I'm not minimizing what it takes to let go of that stuff. It takes quite a bit. But when you do it, life gets a whole lot better. And then you start opening your mind up to things like Abraham Hicks. When I first talk about libertarian, when I first heard Abraham Hicks and first grasped what it was they were saying, I said, oh my God, that's the most libertarian teaching I've ever heard in my life. And I still believe that to this day. It's far more libertarian than any other libertarian thinker or writer or philosopher that I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. Because what do they teach? They teach that you are in control of your life, that you are free to do whatever you want. You are free to attract whatever you want. You get to choose by focusing on what you like and taking your attention away from what you don't like. You get total control. I mean, that's individual autonomy. That's libertarianism.
So interdimensional wisdom is libertarianism at its core.
Yeah. Now, you say that to the average libertarian. If you're lucky, all he'll do is look cross-eyed at you. If you're unlucky, he'll take a swing at you.
No, wow.
But nevertheless, I realized, wow, that laid it out better than anything else I'd ever heard before.
Mm-hmm.
I also got one of my favorite gurus, if you will, from that whole range of thinkers was a gentleman who actually was a presidential candidate on third party ticket as a libertarian back in 1996 and 2000. Most people don't even know who he is. His name was Harry Brown, and he was a financial whiz. He made a lot of money in the during the Nixon era, when Nixon took us completely off of gold, the last step off of gold, and there was all the stuff with price and wage freezes and all that other kind of stuff. And he made a fortune during that era by betting against it, and ultimately taught a form of libertarian philosophy that I considered to be the highest form, the best form. And he also became a friend of mine. I got to know him. He was a wonderful gentleman. Mm-hmm. Harry died of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And, you know, if you know anything about that disease, it's basically a disease that paralyzes you to death.
Yeah.
And I realized, talk about Louise Hay, it was the perfect example of Louise Hay's teaching that the symptoms of whatever your disease are a direct reflection of your thought process. His thought process was that the whole thing was becoming hopeless. He couldn't see any hope left. He felt paralyzed by the system. Mm-hmm. And he ended up being, you know, basically dying from being paralyzed.
Yeah.
A text message.
I mean, it was just, it was amazing. So, and I keep asking myself, I wonder what Harry would think if he was alive today. I wonder about that. Because he was such a warm, caring person. He was so in touch with other humans. And I just have this feeling, if he had somehow been able to make the breakaway that he wasn't able to make today, I think he would, first of all, be a very, very happy person. I think he'd actually be an LOA advocate. I think he'd be in a completely different space. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's just me. So that's my growth story. I'm curious, what kind of growth stories have you guys experienced since you know, go back as far as you want to go, but talk about some of the growth you've gone through.
How about just life in general? Like, every day is growth.
Every day I'm growing.
Right? Like, every day you're glad to be alive, some of us. And, you know, you learn something new every day, and I call
some
that
of us.
Growth.
Some of us.
I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm glad to be alive. I don't know about y'all.
I'm talking for me. I can't talk about y'all. I'm going to talk about me. I can't talk about y'all. I'll be on some crazy stuff, but I'm going to grow. That's right. That's all I know. I'm about to grow.
Mm-hmm. I'm fitting to grow.
Fitting to grow?
Yep.
Okay, that was too far off the reservation. Sorry, too far off the reservation.
It's I'm getting ready to.
It's like this whole, the low-key movement. I'm low-key this or I'm low-key that.
Movement.
How can you be high key anything?
What do you mean? That's how, like, can you be high key?
In London, there's this colloquial slang phrase, slyly. I'm slyly mad about that. Slyly mad about that. Or you could just express your displeasure in normal English terms. I think that would also be acceptable. But there we go.
No, it's more like, okay, low key, I'm upset, but like, it's not a big deal. I just want you to know, but I'm over it.
I have a bad relationship with colloquialisms that I don't fully understand. I remember me and my ex were at my godson's parents' place over in Norway, and we were in the middle of an argument, and I misused a phrase that just got me into even deeper trouble. I thought the word salty meant that someone was being like upset about something. And so I said, you're being salty. But it's got a deeper, darker meaning, and it looked like I was like rubbing salt into the wounds and it looked like I was being nasty and mean.
Okay, and maybe that's how it is in England, but that over here, it means you're upset. Like, if I'm salty, it means I'm mad about something.
Oh, it was taken, I don't know what, maybe I got it another meaning. I don't remember.
Well, salty also can mean sarcastic, like you're being sarcastic about something.
That's there was
salty.
Something, maybe I missed, I don't remember the exact context of it, but basically I thought it meant one thing. Mm-hmm. What it meant was like what I really didn't want it to mean. It seems like, what does that mean? I was like, check it out in the dictionary. And Gus was like, no, don't do that. And I was like, no, check it, blah, blah, blah. Like, for F's sake, Daniel. And he was like, bro, I told you.
Don't do it, man.
And then laughed at me.
but he's mean. So, I've got an odd relationship with these low keys, high keys, salties, slylies.
I use them all.
You use them all?
I use them all.
No, I use none. I use none.
Like
Maybe I need to grow in my appreciation of
colloquialisms. Yes.
Even ones that make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
I first met my Kenny's sister-in-law, and I was wearing my Supernatural sweatshirt. I don't know if you guys have seen it. And she goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Oh, it's my Supernatural sweatshirt." She goes, "Oh, okay." I was like, "Yeah, low key, I'm a fan." So she was like, "Low key, that entire sweatshirt." Two giant men's face on them. What do you mean, Loki? Like, all right, high key, I'm a fan. High key, I'm a super fan. Like, let's call this man.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
Just so we're on the same page.
Page.
And pitch. I just winked for everybody to say.
Oh, that was a horrible pun. Oh, God. I can't.
Hey, Alex, I'm not even the one who said it. He said it.
I know!
And by the way, if you are only listening, then I'm salty about that.
Low-key, you're not a real fan.
You should be joining us on YouTube. Join us on the Yutba and watching our purple space beach backgrounds.
Well, I don't have one.
You got a purple one.
I got a purple one. It is spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
It's fantabulous.
Colorful.
Yes. I should get a rainbow one. Or maybe a unicorn mural or something. Because the wall behind this is white. I'm going to have Kenny paint me a unicorn mural behind here.
Okay.
3D unicorn mural. Yeah, that's what's happening. Yep,
so I'm going to try to do something rather radical here. I'm going to see if I can get us back to the topic.
No! Walt? Shock.
I'm going to try once more and give us an idea of what kind of growth you've gone through.
I've gone through growth as far as my depression has before it was manifested in a really bad way to the point of suicide attempts. So I've definitely grown from that aspect.
Like night and day?
What'd you say?
Like night and day?
Oh, definitely night and day. Yeah, definitely night and day.
That's the kind of growth that I was talking about. It's mm-hmm. It's spectacular when you can look back and you can see that much transition.
It's kind of to the point where
you made progress. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's progress, and to the point where I'm like, how was I even there? Yeah. If I knew then what I know now,
right?
Like, oh my God!
Right?
Exactly. I would have slapped myself across the face and said, "Suck it up, Buttercup." It's not that serious. You'll be fine in 10 years.
Well, we actually did a show like that. Linda Armstrong and I did a show where we speculated if we had the opportunity to go back and talk to like our teenage selves or to mm-hmm. our, you know, young adult selves, what would we say?
No, that was us.
Well, I guess we did that too. I remember doing it first with Linda, and I guess that's why mm-hmm. we also did it here. But what would you have said to yourself 10 years ago if you had a chance to go back now? What would you say?
This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
10 years ago.
Daniel's looking off into space. Is that
you and can, also, going on. What I would also say is that the person you are today is going to make who you are tomorrow. So
appreciate
what you're going through.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to help so many more people as you go through this pain.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I have to acknowledge, I mean, people in live stream have been,
is it Jeffrey or Josephine?
Jeffrey's there. Nash is there. I think I saw, who else did I see? Oh, Jenny is there. But I've been getting some birthday wishes, so I wanted to acknowledge the birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Yeah, that was nice. So thank you.
It's so funny. I checked my Facebook birthday after I'd hopped on to catch a bit of the live yesterday. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, wow, it was Walt's birthday. Yay.
Happy And I appreciate that. I got your message during the show. I appreciate that. How about you, Daniel? Where have you seen the biggest growth in your own, you know, traveling around the sun a few times?
I would say the biggest growth, like core, like wow factors for me were
when I realized after 10 years that I hadn't really fully accepted everything, and I had like the massive moment where I was like, oh, that's to be accepted also. That was big for me, because I'd seen positive aspects of things, but I basically use the positive aspects to justify or to be okay with what happened, versus just being accepting it and being grateful for what it was, without the need to say it's okay because this happened. It's like, no, it's okay because you're just what you are, because all of that led me to this point here and now where everything is beautiful. So that, I think, was for me a very, very, very key moment. And it's one that continues to inform me and to shed light on situations that I go through every day.
Isn't it interesting, too, how everybody will have a different moment like that, or a different thing in their lives, a different change, whatever it might be, that affects the way they think about themselves, the way they feel about their lives and so forth. But the commonality is that it affects the way we feel about our lives and affects the way we feel about ourselves. I kind of imagine that when you had that moment, it improved, among other things, your self-confidence, your self-esteem, because you realized you'd gained a piece of information that was really critical to your own understanding that just made things so much better for you.
Do you know, it was more just that, and just this whole thing of, oh, right, I'd completely missed this whole beautiful gift that I've been kind of, oh yeah, it's okay because that happened, and oh yeah, it's and kind of give myself a pat on the back for seeing the positive, versus, oh, in all its ugliness, it was really beautiful. And so now when I look at ugly situations, I've got a firm reference point to, yeah, but we now know things can look this way or that way now, but who knows how I'm going to be looking back at it in a week, in a month, in a year. And then what that empowered me to do is come back to a space of, oh, how I'm going to look back on it depends exactly on how I'm looking forward. I'm looking into it right now, because how I'm dealing with it right now are going to be the seeds that represent the fruit that I'm going to reap as I reflect on it going forward. And it's just given me a completely different relationship to reality.
Yeah. It's just remarkable. I mean, I'll say it again. We all do it differently, but we all get there. And I think that's what I was realizing about my libertarian friends. They haven't gotten to where I've gotten yet, but that's okay. They're still going through what they need to go through in order to have their aha moment. And I have no idea when it's going to come. They certainly don't know when it's going to come.
They may never get there.
They may not get, well, they'll get there. They may not get there in this lifetime, but they'll get there eventually, one way or another. And I don't know how it'll all play out, but you know what? It's still okay. That's actually one of my big aha moments, realizing that even when there's a whole bunch of stuff out there, that a whole bunch of people are dealing with that I don't like, it's still okay. It's still okay. It's fine. It's working out the way it needs to work out. And it all plays out in the end the way it needs to play out. There's that phrase from the movie that came out of India. What was it called? The hotel. I can't think of what it was called.
Taj Hotel? Blank.
What's that?
The Taj Hotel? Whatever it is.
No. Marigold Hotel. Marigold Hotel.
Never heard of it.
Good movie. Good movie to see. And the phrase that came out of it was, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not yet all right, it's not yet the end.
I like that.
That's perspective. That's definitely long distance, long scale perspective. Realizing that just because it doesn't look like it's all worked out doesn't mean it's not going to all work out. In fact, it will work out. It's all going to work out one way or another.
Right.
Just have to be willing to trust that it will. Now, of course, that didn't help the guests who actually were staying at the hotel. They really wanted their hotel to be better right then. I can understand that. And the funny thing was, they did make it better through their own lives. The hotel actually didn't improve. The hotel was just as, you know, run down as it had been when they first got there. But they themselves made the hotel better. And that was part of the storyline. So
that's Hotel Marigold?
The best exotic Marigold hotel.
Oh, that's too long.
Yeah, well, that's why I had so much trouble remembering it.
That seemed too much right there.
So. Movies. What's that?
One of those powerful feel-good movies, I find.
Yeah, it is a good one. Yep. And there was the follow-up, the sequel that, as with most sequels, wasn't as good.
Yeah.
There aren't many of those that are really good. Few of them.
Bad Boys.
Okay. I mean, for me,
All I got.
I'll go back years ago. Star Wars, the second was definitely an improvement over the first, third over the second. I mean, it was pretty rare.
That's why I said, may the fourth be with you on your birthday.
That's right. And I appreciate that. I was sending that out to other people too.
Good.
I've done that for years. That's the fun part about being born on May 4th. You get to do that little thing, you know.
Well, that was great for me. I was like, oh, he's born on May 4th. And he likes Star Wars. This is fantastic. Yeah. I'm dying for this. So no, expect that every year for the rest of your life.
Every year. Well, yeah, actually, I do. Somebody usually says it to me every year.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's fine.
Thanks for stealing my thunder. I thought I was the first. It's cool.
Well, it was the first for you.
All right. Oh, that reminds me. I have a show for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Brand new Amazon Prime. It's called Upload. You guys are going to love it.
Upload.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Okay. So kind of hard to explain, but basically it's 13 years in the future. It's 2033. Okay. And now we have the option to go to virtual heavens. So you get to heavens. Yes. So you get to upload your consciousness into an avatar in a virtual heaven. Or you can go the natural way, or you can pay to live in a virtual heaven, which is like, I don't know, $10,000 a month, something like that for the rest of your life, for eternity.
Sounds a little pricey, but okay.
It is a bit pricey. It's for rich.
Well, when you've got
only
hyperinflation in the US dollar in a couple of years, because it's not been paid to go. Everyone's a trillionaire. I've got 100 million Zimbabwean dollar note.
Yeah.
I've got an envelope of them.
Wow.
100 million. I've got like a trillion Zim dollars somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not worth a continental.
Well, they're actually printed on actual gold, so they've got some value to them, but they're not.
Oh. If you can melt the paper down, yeah.
but yeah, it's like I'd like to pay for my heaven, please.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like the way that they do it is just so well done, and it's like things you wouldn't even think of. Like, they upgrade the heavens get upgrades every once in a while. So it's like, okay, the lake is glitching. We need to, it's a GIF basically, and it's glitching.
You said it's called Upload.
Upload. Yep. It's only 10 episodes. There's only one season. I watched it in one night, but it was really good.
I really hope that they'll let me watch it, in Mexico, because I went to go and get the Disney Channel.
No, it's Amazon Prime.
No, but I'm saying I went to go and get the Disney Channel because Ariana needs her cartoons.
Yes, facts. Big facts.
And then they're like, no, so you can't have it in Mexico. And there's certain films and shows that they don't let me get on Amazon Prime because I'm not in America.
Really?
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, actually, Jen has the same problem in Japan. There's certain things she can't get. Regional. But she got a Fire Stick and she has no problem now.
I've got a Fire Stick.
Is it jailbroken? No. Not that I'm recommending it. Yeah. So
basically, don't try this at home, but go ahead.
Yeah, don't try this. Don't look up how to do it on YouTube.
There are different regions. I know this because of my media business.
Yeah.
Different regions buy the rights to a show or a film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically, I guess in Mexico, another show, someone else has the rights.
Yeah.
So Amazon might have sold the rights to the show in Mexico. So I'd have to go and subscribe to another network in order to do it, basically.
Yeah.
There's just some things I can't get.
I know some people in Australia who are in our Supernatural group who watch it. I don't know how they watch it, but they can't get it in Australia. So they travel to the cons and try to enjoy all that stuff, but they can't watch it live in Australia. They have to wait till the season's over and watch it on Netflix, I guess.
Oh, that was with some things in England. We had that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. It's really cool. Like Billions, I can watch it on the day now.
Wow.
In England, you have to wait like a month later.
Mm-hmm.
This too shall pass. I mean, I can't tell you exactly how it's going to play out, but all this copyright licensing thing, patenting and so forth.
It'll all be one giant thing.
It's going to shift. It's in the process of shifting.
Yeah, it's already doing it now.
And if you look, everyone's operating as virtual avatars now. Anyway. Everyone's been getting used to being online, doing more of their banking online.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially now that we're in quarantine and everything's closed, you have to do everything online.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean,
Even like things like the courts and stuff, they're going to start doing more of that sort of stuff virtually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the U.S. Supreme Court, for the first time, broadcast their proceedings because they had to do it online. They couldn't do it any other way. Mm.
Not to say show again, but they did a show about that. It's called All Rise. It's called All Rise, and they were the first people to do a pandemic show. Like they just said their lines on Zoom, and that was the whole show. Okay. I was like, oh, this is lackluster. I feel like I'm in a meeting, but because it's like a court show, like you really feel like you're at court, and the lawyer's talking to you, and the judge is talking to you, so you really feel like you're there. But I don't think it would work for any other show, though.
Oh, okay.
Still sounds pretty hopeful.
Yeah. Like you can do a virtual courtroom. I don't know. I don't know about like Grey's Anatomy doing virtual surgeries. That doesn't work.
Yeah, they should do it based on the camera angle. Just stick to certain angles. And have like an in-house set up.
But you need the cameramen and the rest of the staff to do that, to set up everything. You can't have more than 10 people.
According to Steve Jobs, you just need an iPhone.
Like I mean, camera. I don't know. A lot of what are they doing? I think a lot of the Voice and American Idol are doing. They sent everybody iPhones so they can sing at home, and we can vote. We can vote from our homes.
And actually, I don't think it's all that difficult to do what you're talking about, Alex, because the modern software enables anybody who is interested in learning how to use the software to take mm-hmm. any kind of cameras. I mean, it can be iPhones and Android phones. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Set them up on stands, use remotes to pivot them and so forth, and basically from one control panel run an entire studio, all automated.
Yeah, true.
You know, and you can do it relatively inexpensively. By relatively mm-hmm. inexpensively, I mean you don't have to spend $150,000 on a studio. You can actually do it for, under a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah.
So it's not that difficult. They can do it. They can do it now.
I just don't know if I'm going to get the real feel. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, and this is also a growth thing, by the way.
Okay.
I think that this is part of the overall series of events that are going to lead to a bunch of breakthroughs because of COVID. Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of those breakthroughs is going to happen because of social distancing and masking and quarantining, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. Because what it's doing is it's physically separating us.
Yeah, it is.
And human beings, in this sense, we're like horses. We need to be with other human beings. And mm-hmm. we need it, actually, we're advanced in the sense that it isn't enough to be with family members. In fact, a lot of families are saying, well, I don't want to be with a family anymore. But even so, even for the ones who do want to be together, I mean, Louise and I, for instance, we get along great, but that doesn't mean we really don't want miss to be our being with our friends and so forth. Yeah. We do miss that. We miss mm-hmm. that personal connection. That you can't get that online. You can come close. You can come close, but that physical connection of being in the same space and chatting and all that kind of stuff, it is missing, and people are missing it. And that is going to have a dynamic effect that we can't even foresee the end of yet. But it's going to be a growth thing. It's going to be a big growth thing.
I agree with you. But also, speaking as a personal introvert, I'm not missing it so much. Like, I can sit there on the family group chat and Zoom with my family, and maybe it's because they're always gone and they live out of state. So like that's how we always communicate. But mm-hmm. even when I'm talking with my friends, again, also out of state, maybe that's what it is. I'm used to them
being
gone.
You've been quarantined for quite some time. That's the thing.
Yeah, I have.
A lot longer than the month and a half, 2 months the rest of us have been.
Yeah. But also, to your point, I will say if me and Kenny were separated due to quarantine, it would be rough. It would be rough.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
Sure. I'm actually glad that Og and Ariana came down literally just before it started. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting having... Mm-hmm. the house all the time, although I've hired a teacher
nice
school who comes in every day to occupy her.
That's why she hasn't come to say hello today. but yeah, it's been mad. Now I'm okay because my life in real terms is just means I can't go to the beach, really. But for someone who's more used to wanting to go out and socialize more, like date nights have and so on and so forth. I tried romantic in-house date nights. They are not the same. They are.
What? Then you're not doing it right.
No, you don't know. There are some people that need to be out in new places. As many different things as you might do, different cuisines and different scented candles and wines from different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. It's appreciated, but it's not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. I agree with you. And in fact, like you mentioned beaches, Daniel. Beaches are one of the ways that human spirit is popping up. People are going to the beaches even when they're under quarantine.
Not going to lie, I went yesterday.
Here the federales are patrolling the beach with big guns, so you don't want to.
Well, we have a private beach, so there's like no more than 10 people, obviously, on the beach at one time. And here, if you have your fishing license, you can still go. You're allowed to go.
Yeah, if you've got a boat, you're allowed to go out on your boat.
Yeah, yeah. But no one's wearing masks. I'm not saying that
people
beach.
Aren't being blocked. I know they're being blocked. To me, the interesting and important point is that they're trying to pop up and go to the beach.
Yeah.
That's Kenny's really big
cousin calls us every day and goes, you guys going to the beach today? I'm like, bro, we're quarantined. Stay home. You're the problem.
But nevertheless, people still want to go to the beach. They still try to do it. And that
But if you're going to go to the beach, go with your mask on.
I get it. I'm not complaining about one way or the other about whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea to go to the beach. I'm simply saying that desire to go to the beach
is
irrepressible.
Yeah,
it is. And the more you try to repress it, the more it's going to pop up.
Facts.
And it's not just going to the beach. It's all this stuff. It's all everything. Personal interaction stuff. That's what they're trying so desperately to clamp it down.
Yeah.
And I'll have to use a Star Wars analogy. It's like, Princess Leia said in Star Wars, the more you clamp down, the more the star systems are going to slip through your fingers because you can't keep the human spirit repressed forever. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work.
That's why they created Neo in the Matrix to give the illusion of control.
Mm. Okay, you got to follow up on that comment a little bit further.
I mean, Alex, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
I do, but I need you to be explicit about it. I need you to spell it.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to double check how deep I need to go into it. So, second reference points. So have you seen the Matrix movies?
All three, yes.
Okay, brilliant. So if we go back to the end of Matrix 2, Matrix Reloaded, when he returns to the source and he meets the architect, and the architect actually reveals the truth about what Neo is, the whole thing was that Neo was balancing out an equation. The unpredictable nature of human choice meant that they factored all of that choice energy into someone who had the power to make the choice and then gave that person the choice, but kind of tied their hands on the choice. So you've got a choice about whether to do one thing or the other, but if you don't do what I say, then everybody dies and we start again. So it's up to you, bro. So they basically, they programmed him to have all this love and compassion for others, which is what makes him the one. But then basically he said, yeah, but so now you've got all that love and compassion. Here's the thing. Save everyone or be a butthole.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. And he's like, I mean, the powerful thing about that moment for me was that he actually transcended that choice and made another choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't been.
Sure.
Not
that you haven't spoiled any of it so far, but.
Well, no, but I haven't, but all I've said is he goes to the source. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, bottom line is he transcended that and did something else, but it came down to him having these choices. But that choice was the balancing of the equation. So we've got these choices available to us, but do we really? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. And I think the piece there that you touched on really spells it out. He transcended the choices.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that's what really made him the one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's what makes each of us the one too.
Yes.
We all have the options at all times to transcend our choices. We just really need to learn when and how to do it.
Facts.
And I personally suggest
Chocolate.
That's a good way. Cosine.
Chocolate defective.
Like, you can't go wrong.
Unless you're addicted, allergic, and then you could probably go wrong.
It could go terribly wrong.
It'd be terribly wrong, so don't do that. Mm. If this is your flip.
You could also be lactose intolerant and allergic to milk chocolate and hate dark chocolate.
Why would you hate dark chocolate?
It's too tart for me.
Okay, so
it gets me right here.
What percentage do you eat?
I don't eat a percentage because it's milk chocolate.
Okay,
35%.
With the dark chocolate, which percentage did you try?
All of them.
So where did you start?
I started at maybe 60, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you don't like it.
No.
Have you tried the flavored ones? Lindt makes some good flavored ones. The one with sea salt is amazing.
Sea salt and dark chocolate? No.
It's amazing. Try it.
It's a very
popular I like sea salt, caramel, and milk chocolate.
They've got that as well. They've got that as well.
I will give it a go.
Try the sea salt with dark chocolate with sea salt. Just try it.
Okay. All right.
If you don't like it, save it for when I come to visit because I will finish it.
No problem.
He has volunteered.
I'm like, don't touch it, Daniels. Oh, I don't know, because Kenny loves dark chocolate.
Oh, then Kenny can consume that which you don't enjoy.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing about partnerships is he eats everything I want.
I don't eat everything that Olga wants. She tried to give me some beetroot salad Russian dish the other day with walnuts and other stuff in it.
Well, that's one of the beauties of law of attraction theory, because even when you attract something, you don't have to keep it.
Facts. Oh, yeah.
What's that mean?
That's when Drake does this.
That one. if you miss that one, guys, you missed out because you've basically been cheating yourself out of the goodness.
By not signing up on YouTube as a follower.
There you go. So you would have seen the...
Well, if you're going to do the segue, Alex, you got to do the full segue.
So what you want to do, if you want to become a subscriber on YouTube...
Thanks for catching on, guys. This is the second or third time I've tried this transition. I'm teeing it up for you guys. Take it home.
We segue when we want to segue. All right, bro. We're not a minute before.
I see you. I see it. I see it. Right. I see what's going on. I'm low key aware of your and their
meetings. This is your segue.
Daniel segue.
Yo, big facts. So you go to YouTube, search LOA Today podcast videos. And once you see my purple hair and our smiling faces, you click down below to the red subscribe button, then go over to the other side. There's a little silver bell. Click that little silver bell. Make sure you click all so you will always be notified when we are live.
That was beautifully done. Especially with Daniel ringing the little silver bell on the back.
Ring the bell, bro.
Ring the bell.
Low key.
I love
High
it.
Key, Beyonce, bring me along.
And what about people that want to subscribe to the show on the podcast?
On LOAtoday.com.
Well then, thank you very much for bringing that up.
Daniel, the segue king.
Yes, you too can be a subscriber to the podcast.
Yes.
I'm dead.
Please come back. Just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and you too can subscribe just like that in one or two clicks. Do it right now before anybody else does it, and you too will be a subscriber starting right now. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Yay.
This message is not brought to you by the owners of the station.
The voice used by the host is not actually representative of the host or the views of the host and other people who watch the show. Watching this show, listening to the show, may cause hilarious laughter.
Facts.
Disclaimer you just heard does not reflect the other disclaimers that are reflected on the show.
Fabulous.
Oh, man.
So now we've completely disclaimed. I love that.
I'm well tickled.
Are you well tickled? I'm stealing that. I love it. That is me from now on. I'm dying. No, I'm not dead. I'm well tickled.
I was going to hear that as like a new word. Well tickled.
Yep. I'm gonna blow it up. Watch. It's gonna be a movement.
I'm gonna be the world's
movement. Matter of fact, I'm posting it. I'm gonna be like, I'm well tickled. Hashtag Daniel.
Oh.
See, that's what's so cool about the Tuesdays and Thursdays show. I mean, you guys take feeling good to a level that I don't think we ever do with any of the other shows. Not that the other shows, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, aren't any good. They're great shows.
No, they suck. That's what you just said.
You guys just take it to, like, we're like in orbit right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like that high. It's really cool.
Well, you literally are in orbit.
You look at my, well, they actually have to be subscribed on YouTube to see that. So
this
one more plug, right?
This is what we're saying.
Better subscribe. Better subscribe. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I love it. I love the laughter. I love the joy. I mean, and it just kind of rounds back to the way I started off the show. I think about where I was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about the comment from my friend saying how unhappy I sounded. I think,
if they only knew.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
I don't even know.
Right?
I don't even know.
You ain't ready. You ain't ready. That's what it's about. You ain't ready.
The good news is that she's raising the point.
Mm-hmm.
And that means she's getting closer to being ready.
Okay.
You know, the only time that you're not ready is when you're stuck in that comfort zone, that place where this is my entire world. This is little tiny thing. That's the only time. And even there, Alex has proven that you can still live in the comfort zone and be happy.
Listen, bro, I got two fireplaces in my comfort zone. So come at me. And a private beach. Come at me, bro.
That is a winning combination.
All right. Yep. I'm saying.
let me modify what I was saying then.
Okay.
How about people who are stuck in a comfort zone where they're not happy?
Okay. I like that.
Because that's where I think most comfort zones are. Most comfort zones, they're not in a happy place.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, when people are in that so-called comfort zone, they defend it to the hilt.
So facts.
They fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scratch your eyes out if you come after it.
It's comfort!
That was me. I'm bitches.
That's another sign of growth when you're no longer fighting for that little piece of turf that wasn't all that great in the first place, but you felt like it was all you could have, so you fight for it!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Growth is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's the difference between all you can have and all you want.
Hmm. Okay. Do you want to elucidate on that, or do you just want to?
I was just going to drop a bomb and walk away, but I feel like
you don't get away with that around here. You know that.
I feel like when it's all you. What was I saying? All you can have. You don't feel like you can. You're stuck. You don't feel like you can go anywhere. You don't feel like you could break a glass ceiling. But if it's all you want, you're satisfied in your comfort zone. And I think that's the difference in where I'm comfortable in my comfort zone and okay with it.
Okay. All right. See, that was worth it. That was worth elucidating on. That was
elucidating. Word of the day.
Word of the day. It goes into the list of hashtags for the day.
No, hashtag I'm well tickled.
Well, tickle. Well, that's essentially the same thing.
I'm so dead.
Oh God.
Okay, one last question before we finish it for the day.
Okay.
What's going to be your next growth spurt about? What's it going to be about? The next piece of growth.
I have to start adulting.
What's that?
I have to start adulting.
Adulting?
Yeah.
Meaning what?
Like, I have to, like, physically get up and change my last name. I have to get insurance, life insurance, like, big boy pants things. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have anything nor kids to pass them down to, but, you know, like, God forbid I leave my husband in a lurch. Like, can't have that.
Yeah, lurch is no bueno.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
No bueno.
And I also got to get healthier.
Healthier?
Healthier, yes. I have a dress to fit into amongst just life in general, wanting to live longer.
You have set your standards and your sights higher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're aiming for the stars.
Because she wants to come hang out with you.
Or with you. I mean, you're the one who's got the palm tree in the background.
Facts.
True. Maybe there's a launch pad behind me to go and visit you intermittently and then come and collect some sun again.
Ah, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So what's the next growth spurt in your life, do you think?
I think in carrying Beyond Intention globally, I had planned to physically visit every continent that I haven't taught on this year.
Right.
I'd set my teaching schedule for that. That was like my big goal for the year.
Okay.
Going to South America, I was going to be teaching in Colombia and teaching in Egypt and South Africa and other cool places. But now I'm taking over the digital globe instead. So digitally sharing. So made another massive investment in adding new members of the team and creating loads of new free content. The Micro to Millions app. It's a free app where you've got the option to sort of join some of the entry levels of the program and get some of the program. They finished producing the app content. They're just sort of doing the last tweaks on it now. So the app's going to be available.
Cool.
Releasing my meditations album. The first one is available on iTunes soon, any day now.
Mm-hmm.
So just, yeah, just taking things to the next level in terms of sharing the message with the world. That's
very my cool. Yeah.
Did you change your direction due to quarantine?
No, it's because, I mean, I got to the point where I was the only way that people could really hang out with me in person is to come to one of my coaching weekends.
Yeah.
So I was meant to be in Dubai this last weekend. Obviously that got cancelled. Then next month was meant to be Vancouver and then Italy in July. So that's not happening. so potentially could get back to it with France at the end of August. And then continue from there. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't, then it doesn't, as far as I'm just doing more stuff.
Okay.
So, for myself, my next big growth spurt is coming here with LOA Today and with a number of subscribers and people who are listening. Right now, we're in the 500 to 600 range per episode. We're going to shoot into the thousands, and we're going to actually practically skip through the thousands to the 10,000s.
All right. Well,
we need to have a three-way tete-a-tete about that because I'm literally finishing my team additions on the social media front. And so as soon as I get that locked in on my end, then we need to see how to loop in the LOA Today stuff so we can get some little clips of these shows made and sent out to the world and get someone actually looking after the Instagram account so it's actually an account versus just a board.
Who says manifestations don't happen quickly? Just get it out of my mouth, and already I'm getting this stuff from Daniel.
Well, this happens every Tuesday and Thursday, because then, what were you saying? You said something. I don't know. I got looped into doing three different things, and you said it once, and I was like, oh, I got it. And you were like, well, see what happens when you just got to ask.
You just have to ask. It's just amazing. All right. Good stuff. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the levity. Thank you for raising the vibration of my own vibration as well as all of our listeners. I mean, really, we very much appreciate it. Thank you, live streamers. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.